The Minnesota University of the Air presents Tales of Minnesota. The Minnesota University of the Air presents another in a series of radio dramatizations based on a century and a half of heroic pioneering and dedicated to the people of Minnesota in this historic year of their territorial centennial. Based on fact and carefully documented, Tales of Minnesota brings you stories of high adventure, of bold men and courageous women, of the pioneers who built this state out of virgin wilderness. Today, the story of Minnesota's great dairy scientist, her apostle of agricultural cooperation, the story of Theophilus L. Hecker, the Crusader.
In 1891, Minnesota rode the crest of its third great wheat boom, but agricultural leaders watching the wheat belt move steadily westward were beginning to wonder what could be found to replace wheat growing. Was there something that could be grown or raised that would avoid the annual gamble against drought, blight, and the grasshoppers? One answer might be dairying, and farmers in the southeast were turning to dairy farming by the hundreds. But raising cows proved a lot more complicated than wheat farming. Educators began to realize they had an immense job on their hands if Minnesota was to make an easy transition from wheat to dairy products. One result of all this thought was that one day in 1891, two rather distinguished-looking gentlemen appeared in the classroom of a certain University of Wisconsin dairy instructor.
All right, boys. That ends the last class of the term. Maybe you learned some things, and maybe you didn't. But I hope you did learn one thing.
Treat the cows gently, boys. Remember, she's a lady and a mother.
And remember, if you forget anything you learned from this class, ask the cops. Class dismissal.
Oh, Mr. Hecker. Mr. Hecker.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
Allow us to introduce ourselves. This is John Pillsbury.
How do you do, Mr.
Glad to know you, Mr. Hecker.
And my name is Knute Nelson.
How do you do, sir?
We represent the Board of Regents of the University of Minnesota, Mr. Hecker. And we'd like to talk to you about something.
That's the story, Mr. Hecker. For one reason or another, Minnesota farmers are having a devil of a time trying to switch from wheat cropping to successful dairy farming.
Well, it's a pretty complicated job to take on all at once.
Exactly, Hecker. There's a lot more to dairy farming than to wheat farming. And that's where our new dairy school comes in, to help the farmer make the change.
And there's more to dairying than raising cows, as you well know, Hecker. Our creameries are having real trouble, too. Prices are low, butter quality is low, and, well, frankly, we badly need a program to put some life into Minnesota dairy.
And T.L. Hecker, already middle-aged and veteran of a dozen occupations, Wisconsin dairy farmer, teacher, executive secretary, editor, decided to pull up stakes once more and turn his restless mind to a new and greater task. In a relatively short time, his prize herd of Jersey cattle appeared on the agricultural campus of the University of Minnesota.
Uh-oh, here comes work. Some farmer bringing in a herd for testing, I suppose.
Yeah. Say, but those are beautiful cattle.
Oh. Hi there, mister. Nice cows you got there.
Well, nice place you got here. Oh, where's a good barn I can put these little ladies in?
Oh, just leave them anywhere for now.
Anywhere?
Yeah, we'll take care of them.
Say, you boys working here?
Well, don't get all upset, mister. We'll take good care of them. After all, a cow's just a cow, ain't it?
Martha. Did I hear you say that a cow is just a cow?
Well, sure.
Well, listen to me, young fella. A dairy cow is not just a cow. The dairy cow is God's greatest gift to mankind. Yes, sir.
You're not the new dairy instructor.
The very same.
Mr. Hecker, you see, we...
That's all right, boys. Don't let it worry you.
Mr. Hecker, we'll handle those jerseys with kid gloves. Why, they're the prettiest cows I've ever seen.
Well, I'm glad to see Minnesota's got some students to know a good cow in the C1. Quick, What's the best dairy cow? Jersey or Holstein?
Why, Jerseys. Their cream's much better.
But Holsteins are easier to handle, and they'll give more milk.
Yeah. Well, they have taught you something. Are you both farm boys?
Yes, sir.
Good. Like to have my assistants know practical farming as well as book farming. And if you're farm boys, you'll know it's high time to feed these little ladies.
Yes, sir.
Well, we'll pull them right here in this barn.
Oh, wait a minute now.
Yes, sir?
I'll come along with you. Well, come on, Martha. Yeah, we're going to feed these jerseys individually, boys. And I'll just show you the way we're going to record every pound to feed the each.
Every pound, sir? Every feeding?
Every pound, every feeding, every milking, and the temperature, and the humidity.
Whew.
Come on there, Beth. Move on there.
But, sir,
yes and no. It's a lot of work. But it's the only way you'll ever find out anything about the dairy cow. You got to ask her.
Ask the cow, sir?
That's right, Todd. And when you get a chance, ask Martha, the lead cow there, what happened to the last one of my assistants who didn't record his data on a feeding 5 minutes after he fed her.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Fine and dandy. Now that we understand each other, you and I and Martha will get along just fine.
By summertime 1892, the new dairy instructor had settled himself and his wife, Frances, near the agricultural school campus. And he was ready to take his first major step in his program, a personal survey of dairying conditions in Minnesota.
Well, I'll say this much, Theo. You've certainly got your work cut out for you.
Now, Fanny, it's not going to be so hard. A farmer's a farmer. And these Scandinavians will be just as easy to get along with as our Germans over in Silver Spring.
Well, just the same, you keep your temper if they aren't.
Well, don't worry. I figure they'll be glad to tell somebody the troubles. I hear things are in pretty bad shape most everywhere.
I wonder how you're going anywhere on $50 a month expense money, Theo. Now you take it easy so you don't get stranded somewhere.
Well, if I have to walk, I expect I'll make out all right. Anyway, it's pretty walking in summer in Minnesota.
Oh, Theo, now you stop spoofing and hand me that pile of shirts over there. If you're going to leave tomorrow morning, we've got to finish your packing.
And so in the weeks and months that followed, the slight, wiry figure of T.L. Hacker became familiar to hundreds of Minnesota farmers and creamery operators. At first, he had to overcome one handicap.
So you're the new dairy instructor up in St. Paul. Don't suppose you've ever actually done any farming.
Well, not much. About 30 years worth of dairy farming is all.
Excuse me, Mr. Hacker. I'll be glad to tell you my troubles. And man, have I got my share of them.
Frankly, Mr. Hacker, I'm ready to start chewing grass. Why, that creamery I sell milk to doesn't pay me a price worth shooting at.
And sure, these cows are a scrubby-looking lot, but I figure it's better to have cows you can afford to butcher when they dry up on you.
Oh, I tell you, it's a shame, Master Hacker. 35 cents a 100 pounds of milk. Who can live on that?
Yes, the pattern was clear for anyone to see. Mongrel cattle, haphazard feeding methods, poor prices, and a general bad feeling against many of the creameries who were in the business only for what the market would bear.
Well, now, why should I worry about how good my cream is, Mr. Hacker? That's the creamery's worry. They're making plenty of money off me as it is.
Oh, but, Sam, that attitude isn't going to help you. You'll never get good prices for poor cream.
That may be true, Mr. Hacker, but creamery pays same price for cream puffed up with air or sour or dirty as for good fresh cream.
Oh, what about the other little creamery in town? How does he do business?
He's a good enough feller, but he tries to pay a decent price, all right, but well,
he don't know how to make butter good enough to sell it for good price, so he can't pay farmer good price for cream.
Well, yes, you have to have good butter makers to make a good price, all right. But did you ever think that maybe there aren't enough cows around here to make a good creamery pay?
Enough cows? I got all the cows I can take care of right now.
Well, maybe what you need are better cows. Cows that'll give more butter fat.
Good cows cost too much, Mr. Hacker. Farmer don't have enough cash to buy good cows.
Well, it'd be worth your while, boys. A good cow will pay for itself in a few years, and you could go in together to buy a good sire.
Yeah, but what could we do for money for those few years? And who would take care of the sire? No, I guess we get along the way we are.
Dear Fanny, it sure is nice walking in Minnesota in the summer. But things are about as bad out here as you could expect. Scrub cattle, poor prices for cream, and
fact, the prices are so low that the farmers couldn't afford to improve their cattle if they wanted. And then you run into that old problem. Who'll buy the sire? Who'll take care of it? Who'll be responsible? Well, anyway, it's nice walking.
Dear Fanny, we'll be back in St. Paul next Monday after I make a trip over to Freeborn County. Some of the farmers up here tell me they've heard about a couple of Danish settlements there that are trying out a plan of setting up their own creameries. Now that sounds interesting.
Say, that's mighty good butter, Mr. Jensen.
Sure, we got a good butter maker, and we give them only the best cream. That's a hard combination to beat.
I'll say it is. And I'll bet you don't have any trouble selling your butter either.
Oh, no. Top price for this butter.
And what do you do with the profit?
That is the secret behind the whole thing, Mr. Hacker. The farmer gets the profit.
Oh, you mean they all own shares in the creamery?
Most of them. That means they're working for themselves, you see. They're making sure the cream they bring in is good cream.
Well, why, then you're operating on the Rochdale plan, aren't you? You say each member has only one vote.
Yeah. That way nobody get control of creamery for himself, you see. No big fish swallow the little ones. You see, a few years ago, I make trip home to Denmark. I see all those cooperative creameries doing so good. So I figured they ought to do just as well in Minnesota. And my neighbors around here decide to try it out. I tell you, Mr. Hacker, we wouldn't have it any other way now.
Here, then, was a new idea. Perhaps even a solution to the dairy farmer's basic problem, lack of a common purpose which would serve both creamery and producer. So T.L. Hacker listened carefully to the talk of the quiet-spoken Danish farmers.
Yeah, it took a little cash outlay from a few of us. But we had to get started some way, and we didn't want to have to go into debt so deep that the interest would keep us back.
We set up penalties for cream that comes in dirty or watered. That way, everybody gets treated alike.
But you got to remember this, Mr. Hacker. We learn we have to be businesslike, too. Just forming a cooperative don't make a creamery successful. You got to have good management just like any other business.
Yes, T.L. Hacker listened, asked questions, wrote it all down, and then returned to the University of Minnesota.
Well, Hacker, it sounds like a good idea. Go ahead and try it out on the farmers. After all, they're the boys you have to convince. Take a few weeks and see what they think.
Well, boys, how's business since last spring?
Oh, about the same, Doc. You know, just scraping along.
Yeah, it don't seem like it's worth the trouble sometimes. I'm about ready to try something else.
Now, wait a minute, boys. Let me tell you something. Now, mind you, I'm not trying to tell you how to run your business. I'm just going to tell you what I've seen. Now, down in Clark's Grove, there's a creamery making the best butter you ever saw. And the farmers are getting twice what you are for cream.
Well, hello there, Mr. Hacker. Say, what's this we hear about your plan to set up a new kind of creamery?
Well, it's not my plan, boys. I'm just spreading the word. Now, let me tell you about that place they got down in Clark's Grove.
And through the summer, wherever farmers gathered, Hacker talked and explained the cooperative. Farmers listened and went away thoughtfully. It was a new idea. They needed time to think about it. And through the summer, too, Hacker began to find more than lethargy. Sharp opposition to his idea was developing.
And if you decide you want to set up a co-op, boys, you just let me know and I'll be glad to send you some details. Now it looks like I have to run. I am due over in Farmington in a couple of hours. But remember what I told you about those Holstein cows. So long, boys.
So long.